The following audio is a Sunday sermon from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Para Vista, South Australia. For more information about the church, please go to paravista.org.au.
The peace of the Lord Jesus be with you.
And also with you.
Would you please pray with me? Father God, we are in a season which celebrates the resurrection life of Jesus and what that can mean for us here and now. Holy Spirit, come and be our teacher and counsellor this morning and bring us into truth and bring us into the truth of Jesus so that he lives in us and changes us from the inside out and so more people can come to know him and the life he offers all. Amen. Well, as Michael mentioned, we're in a new series, Past the Tomb and Into Life. And we're going to look at one word every week. And guess what today's word is?
Eternity.
What is it?
Eternity.
Okay, it's great. Eternity was a word that was featured on the Sydney Harbour Bridge on New Year's Eve in 1999. We happened to live in Sydney for a decade or more, and we weren't there on that day, but we'd been to some of the fireworks displays on Sydney Harbour on a few New Year's Eves, and it is spectacular. It's not just the fireworks in the sky, you get all the reflections off the water. There's the Opera House, the Sydney Harbour Bridge, the pylons. It's just glorious. And as 1999 went into 2000, the word eternity was featured on the Sydney Harbour Bridge. Yet decades before, the giant word eternity sparkled on that bridge. Beginning in the 1930s, the word eternity was written in yellow chalk on many Sydney pavements and sidewalks over 500,000 times over several decades. As people walked to work, caught buses, hopped off trains, they'd be walking along and they would read the word eternity written on Sydney sidewalks. Friends, what thoughts or images or feelings go off in you whenever you hear or consider the word eternity? I'd invite you to kick that around with someone next to you. Just share what sort of things come to mind or stir within you with the word eternity. Have a little sharing time for a few minutes. Okay, friends, we might just have a time out. If you're just getting going, please, please, please continue this conversation over morning coffee. And, you know, like if something from the sermon stirs in you, have a chat about that too. Friends, when this word started appearing in the 1930s on Sydney sidewalks, there was speculation and curiosity abounding because no one knew who was writing it. There were articles in Sydney papers exploring the mystery of who might be Mr. Eternity. Well, Mr. Eternity was finally discovered. We'll come to that later. But his real name was Arthur Stace. And we're going to unpack his story this morning, a story of redemption, a story of inspiration, and a story of hope. Arthur Stace was born in Balmain, just west of Sydney Central, in 1884. His parents were both alcoholics, his two brothers were alcoholics, and his two sisters were alcoholics. His two sisters ran a brothel and were therefore in constant conflict with the law. So Arthur, you can imagine as he grew up in poverty, left to his own pretty much, and stealing just to get by. At the age of 12, Arthur was made a ward of the state, yet received virtually no education. At 14, he got his first job in a coal mine. At 15, he spent the first of many visits in jail. Already by the age of 15, he was well on his way to being an alcoholic himself. Well, the time he got to his early 20s, he lived in Surry Hills, just south of the city. Now, even today, Surry Hills is nicknamed Slurry Hills, right? Because of the stuff that happens there. And what Arthur was doing that time, he was running liquor between pubs and brothels until the start of World War One. World War One comes, Arthur enlists, he goes to France to fight, he returns back home after the war, partially blinded in one eye and suffering the effects of poison mustard gas. From the return of war, 1918, 1919, up until the Depression in 1930, Arthur gradually slid into full-blown alcoholism, where he ended up drinking methylated spirits out of a soft drink bottle for sixpence and relying on handouts. In those days, they didn't yet have poison in methylated spirits to make you really crook. So if you're really strung out, it was a cheap way to feed one's habit. On August the 6th, 1930, Arthur attended a men's meeting at a place called Barney's, Barnabas Church on Broadway. And there people would go to get free food, a feed, because it was the Depression. And that's what blokes did. But before the meal came, there was always a message giving. And Arthur happened to notice some well-dressed people sitting at the front. And he nudged the guy next to him, a well-known criminal, and he says, Who are those people? And the guy says, Oh, I think they must be Christians. Arthur says, Well, look at them and look at us. I think I want to get what they've got. And Arthur fell to his knees and prayed. Hardly a significant or remarkable event, it would seem. But after this, Arthur found that he was able, by the grace of God, to give up the drinking. He says, As I got back my self-respect, people were more decent to me. And with his self-respect, he found steady employment. A bit later in the 1930s, it was at the Burton Street Baptist Church in central Sydney that Arthur Stace encountered something that dramatically changed the rest of his life. And he describes this in 1965 to a journalist working for the Daily Telegraph. He says this, John Ridley was a powerful preacher and he shouted, I wish I could shout eternity through the streets of Sydney. He kept repeating himself and kept shouting, eternity, eternity. And his words were ringing through my brain as I left the church. Suddenly I began crying and I felt a powerful call from the Lord to write eternity. I had a piece of chalk in my pocket and I bent down right there and wrote it. I've been writing it at least 50 times a day ever since, and that's 30 years ago. The funny thing is that before I wrote it, I could hardly write my own name. I had no schooling and I couldn't have spelt eternity for 100 quid. But it came out smoothly in beautiful copperplate script. I couldn't understand it, and I still can't. I've tried and tried, but eternity is the only word that comes out in copperplate. I think eternity gets the message across, makes people stop and think. Arthur would wake up early in the morning, pray for an hour or so, and he would leave his Piedmont home, 5 a.m., 5:30 a.m., and go to the place where he believed God had directed him for the day. And every 100 metres or so on the sidewalk in that area, he would write the word in that elegant copperplate script. And he would get home around about 10 o'clock in the morning. For 20-odd years, Sydneysiders wondered who was responsible. There was ongoing public curiosity and speculation in the Sydney newspapers about who was this person, who was this mystery man, Mr. Eternity. Well, Arthur never stepped forward and said, I'm him. No, because for him, it was a calling from God. It was his mission, just to get people thinking about what was going to happen after death. He did not want the publicity to or for himself. 1956. Arthur's out there doing his morning thing. And at that time, he happened to be a cleaner at the Burton Street Baptist Church, where he was also one of the prayer leaders. The minister in charge at the time was a guy called Reverend Liesel Thompson. And Reverend Thompson was out walking one day, and he happened to see Arthur riding on the pavement. And he recognised him, and Liesel says to him, "Are you Mr. Eternity?" And Arthur quips back, "Guilty, Your Honour." And so, 21st of June 1956, an article appears in the Sunday Telegraph featuring an interview with Arthur Stace. It was all out in the open. And yet Arthur continued riding on the pavements just as he had always done, his magnificent word, eternity. Now, according to Arthur, he used to use waterproof chalk. I don't know what that is. I guess it's more like crayon. And he said this, "Some of those concrete paths won't take it. Too light to show up." And so he'd prefer to ride on the bitumen paving. And he said that when he was running hot, it cost him 6 bob a day in chalk. That's 60 cents by today. His one word message could weather for 3 to 6 months. And he was told that one of the runs he put in Surrey Hills lasted 12. In his late 50s, Arthur married. Arthur Stace married Pearl Dawson in January 1942. Pearl died in 1961. In 1965, Arthur moved from his Pyrmont home into the Hammondville Homes. He died of a stroke in July 1967, aged 83 years. And Arthur, being Arthur, donated his body to science, to Sydney University, with the money raised to go to charity. In 1997, there was a brass inscription unveiled in a paving stone near the Sydney Square waterfall. And in the familiar copper plate script, it reads, "Eternity, eternity, eternity." It still shouts to people as they walk past. And following that New Year's Eve in Sydney in 1999, one Sydneysider, Ron Bevis, writes this, "Because Sydney's fireworks display was the first of the international celebrations to be telecast around the globe, people in every continent witnessed the miracle that God performed when he touched the life of one little insignificant man, Arthur Stace, a man who heard the voice of God and responded by committing his life to preaching his one-word sermon." Friends, in the light of Jesus' story and Arthur's story, here are three things I'd like you to think and reflect on this week. First, how has Jesus touched your heart and changed you for the better? Arthur's story is certainly enthralling, inspirational. It's not about cleaning up your act to make yourself right with God. No, Christianity is about Jesus meeting us where we're at, wrap his arms around us to clean us up, to help us and to heal us and to give us a hope and a future. Friends, what is your story of the difference Jesus has made? Peter writes, "Always be prepared to give an account of the hope you have to those who ask, but do this with gentleness and respect." Friends, every single one of us has a story, and your story does not need to be as dramatic as Arthur's to make an amazing impact in the heart of another person. Second reflection point. What word, phrase, or verse is God writing through your life? Arthur's word was eternity, yeah. What's yours? What's the one word that sums up what your life is on about? Maybe it's one of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Maybe it's perseverance, loyalty. Maybe it's mentor, listener, encourager, or friend. I think of John the Baptist. If you had to sum up his life verse, it was this: Jesus must become greater, I must become less. I think of St. Paul, who says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Friends, what is your word or phrase or verse that keeps pointing you to Jesus? What's God writing to others through your life? Because once you find something that helps keep you pointing to Jesus, your life will be a signpost that points others to him. Yeah? Are you with me? Third point is this. How is your destiny with Jesus shaping your life here and now today? How does living in the light of eternity change our values, our priorities? What things matter most to us and what things hardly matter at all? Because if we hold that to be true, it must change us. We're going to have a DVD clip in a moment where Francis Chan's going to unpack that a little bit. But let me wrap up today. Friends, what matters most to Jesus? I think there's something that matters more than that to Jesus, than our love for others. I think what matters most to Jesus is people. Is people. And the hearts of people, because Jesus wants to touch hearts and Jesus wants to draw those hearts to his heart so they can do life with him and so they can share eternity with him. And who does God want to share that with? Everyone. Every single person on the planet. That's why Jesus came. That's why Jesus died and rose again, so that we can spend eternity with him. May God grant that to us all. And the people of God said, Amen.